Hello, my name is Sindre.
And I'm Renate.
And this is Gicare Humanum. We've gotten quite a few more iTunes reviews since the last time. I'm not going to read all of them, but one of them had a suggestion for something for us to talk about.
Oh, I actually haven't seen this one.
Johnny F.N. Benson from the United States says, "A couple that geeks together stays together. I would love to hear their thoughts on pro wrestling."
What?
We haven't really watched any pro wrestling. How about you?
I watched that series about female wrestlers.
Oh yeah, that's right.
What's it? Glow?
Glow, yeah.
I watched one season.
Did you like it?
It was okay, but...
Did it make you want to watch more wrestling?
No, I didn't really like the wrestling part. The first season, I mean, the special thing about it was that it was about female wrestling, but other than that, it was quite your standard outcasts get together and make a show together. So I didn't bother watching season two, but maybe it got better. But I think it was critically acclaimed and that it was also popular among the audience, but it wasn't quite for me. It was okay.
Yeah, I didn't bother watching it. It looked okay, but I have so much to do and so many video games I want to play, so many series I want to watch. So I just gave that one a pass.
The thing is that you and I, we watch a lot of things together. Like the things we really want to see, we usually both want to watch. So we watch that together. And then I have to find a few series that you aren't so interested in. Yeah. So, they may not be the series that I'm most keen to watch either. But
just so that you have something when you're on your own that we don't have together.
Yeah.
But wrestling in itself, I haven't really watched any wrestling. I know a few famous wrestlers, like The Rock.
Yeah.
We've watched a bunch of movies with The Rock, like Pain and Gain. We saw that one.
Hmm.
And
yeah, that was fun.
That was actually really fun, yeah. And it's...
Michael Bay.
Yeah, it's a Michael Bay directed movie.
Mm.
Which most of those I don't really care that much for, but that one was very fun.
And he has some okay movies. They're more like popcorn movies.
Yeah.
They may not be very deep, but you don't always want deep. Sometimes you just want action and...
Yeah, true.
But that was... it was a true story?
It was based on a true story, that's true. And it was like a crime story with these bodybuilders that kidnaps a rich guy and takes his money. The Rock plays this cocaine addict born again Christian, and you know The Rock, because he's a wrestler, he's like really huge and has built up his body through training and stuff, and he's like even bigger than most other wrestlers. He's a huge guy, and then they have him play this kind of dumb but well-meaning bad guy, sort of.
Hmm.
And that was the best character in that movie, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
I
don't usually like Mark Wahlberg. He plays the main character.
Yeah.
But he was well-suited for this movie.
Yeah, he did a good job. Or at least the casting was great in that movie.
It's on Netflix, so it's worth checking out if you want a different popcorn movie.
Yeah, and we also watched Rampage with him.
Yeah, that's The Rock.
That's The Rock with a giant monkey. Like, basically, The Rock is a buddy with King Kong. That's basically what the movie is.
Mm. Based on a video game.
Yeah, based on the Rampage video game.
That was fun, and we watched Shaw and Hobbs.
Yeah, I think that's the best Fast and Furious movie. I'm pretty sure.
Mm.
And the only one we saw in the cinema.
Yeah.
Back to wrestling.
Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, he's probably one of the most famous ones.
You know, all my knowledge of wrestling comes from American movies and sitcoms and stuff like that. I haven't actually watched wrestling in itself.
Mm.
You just learn about it from various...
Yeah, through pop culture osmosis.
Yeah, so we know that... Oh, I was just thinking we were going to talk about Seinfeld today, so I was thinking about Curb Your Enthusiasm, where Larry David is in the car behind the wrestler called Thor.
Oh, yeah!
And he starts playing, like...
He's shooting finger guns at the wrestlers.
Thor's children.
Yeah.
In the back seat of his car. And Thor gets really angry and comes back and threatens him. And then he sees the children later on at a hotel lobby or something.
Yeah.
And he goes over to them and tells them that wrestling is fake, that it's just scripted. Oh, I just remember I also watched that The Wrestler movie a few years ago.
Oh, is that good?
I think it was pretty good. That yeah, that was like a comeback for, what's it called, Mickey Rourke?
Maybe. I don't know anything about this movie.
Oh, no, but that was an actor who, I think he was sort of a pretty boy in the 80s, and then he had a lot of problems and too much plastic surgery. So he was like maybe a laughingstock for a few years, and then this was his big comeback in The Wrestler. Oh, wasn't he also in an Iron Man movie? He played a Russian who was talking about his bird.
Oh yeah, he was the bad guy in Iron Man 2. He had his this electric whip or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And he like chopped a racing car in two with the whip.
I think that was the same actor.
Ah, cool. Yeah, he was really good in Iron Man 2. My main exposure to wrestling is through video games. I had a buddy when I was a kid that had a lot of wrestling video games for the PlayStation 2. And it was pretty fun because you could design your own wrestler and make him look really strange. And you could choose what kind of intro sequence he had. So you could just like make the weirdest characters to fight with.
Was your buddy into wrestling or only wrestling games?
I'm pretty sure he liked wrestling too, but yeah, I have no idea. I think he had a lot more cable channels than I had. His family was richer than most of my other friends.
Okay. Yeah, because the normal TV channels in Norway, I don't think they show wrestling.
Yeah, we don't have a culture around wrestling in Norway.
Probably some fans.
Yeah, but it's like special channels that shows them. At least back then, it wasn't shown on like the normal channels. You had to have a big cable package to get something that showed wrestling.
When I was a kid, at most we had 5 TV channels.
Yeah, same here. But yeah, I think that's pretty much everything we have to say about wrestling.
It wasn't that much. Sorry.
Yeah, maybe at some point we're going to check out some media with a focus on wrestling, but we're not really that versed in the world of pro wrestling.
No, or sports in general.
Yeah, we're not big sports people. But yeah, thank you for the suggestion. And
it was a good suggestion, because we would never have thought about talking about wrestling.
Yeah, and we got into so many topics through this. So yeah, very good suggestion. So, should we talk about Seinfeld?
We just finished watching the entire series, so that's appropriate.
Yeah. This was the first time for me to watch Seinfeld.
I watched Seinfeld many times, both when it was first aired in Norway in the 90s, and also I watched it on numerous occasions on reruns, and yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some episodes now and then, just when it's on TV, but I think at most I've seen 5 different episodes. Some of those episodes I've seen more than once, but it's just luck of the draw when I was channel surfing. And I'm pretty sure I had seen the episode where they are waiting for a table at the Chinese restaurant before this year. And I had also seen the Soup Nazi episode
before. Okay.
Yeah, and probably a few more, but those are the ones I remember the most. And yeah, 2020 is the first time I've seen it from start to finish.
Mm. And the pilot was released in 1989, I think.
Yeah, so
and you weren't even born then.
No. So it's a pretty old show, and the comedy actually holds up really well.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't seen it in a few years, so I was a bit afraid that it would seem dated, but I thought it was still really funny. I laughed out loud all the time.
Yeah, it's very few parts of it that seems dated. I think the most of it is like people don't have phones. That's the biggest difference, that people don't have mobile phones with them all the time.
Yeah.
And other than that, it seems... The comedy seems really timeless. They are worried about and interested in like the same things that people would be interested in and worried about nowadays.
Yeah, and also interesting for me is that since I'm now in my 30s, I kind of identify even more with them than I did back when I watched it as a kid.
Right, because you have some of the same life experiences.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot about, like, relationships and, I don't know, just something like eating at a restaurant or...
Yeah, it's stuff like that.
You know, grown-up things that you can identify more with when you're actually a grown-up.
Yeah, but I think it speaks to the quality of the comedy that you were even interested in it when you were a kid.
Yeah, I liked it as a kid as well. I probably didn't understand everything.
Do you want to explain what Seinfeld is all about?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's a show about nothing.
Nothing?
No, it's about this stand-up comedian, Jerry Seinfeld, and his everyday life and his friends that keep popping in his apartment.
Yeah, and I think it's based on Jerry Seinfeld's actual life back then.
Yeah, and also I guess Larry David, who we co-created the show with. And as we were saying, Larry David also got his own TV show later on called Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, and in that one he plays himself just like Jerry Seinfeld plays himself in the Seinfeld show.
Yeah, and also I wasn't aware of this before, but the character George Costanza in Seinfeld is heavily based on Larry David as well.
Yeah, in the writing, he's based on Larry David, and as soon as the actor who played George figured out that it was actually a character based on Larry David, he started acting more like Larry David too.
Yeah, probably thinking, what would Larry David do, and just acting it out.
Yeah, and there's a lot of times that you can see in his performance that yeah, he's being very much like Larry David in this moment.
Yeah, because we're both watching Curb Your Enthusiasm now for the first time.
Yeah, we had seen a couple of episodes before we saw Seinfeld, and that also made it easier to recognize Larry David in Seinfeld.
Mm, it's quite funny.
Yeah, both those shows are really funny. And so you have Seinfeld, and in the show he's quite optimistic, but also a lot of the time he's very nitpicky, especially about the women he dates.
Mm.
So there's often times that he has to work out a way to get out of a relationship with a woman because he has some nitpicky reasons that he doesn't want to date them anymore.
Mm.
And then you have George, based on Larry David. And George is kind of deceitful. He lies all the time. And he easily gets angry. And he's pretty cheap. Like, he doesn't really like to spend money.
Mm.
So he's stingy.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you have the neighbor, Kramer.
Yeah, which turned out to also be based on a real-life person called Kramer.
Yeah, Larry David's neighbor in real life.
Yeah.
So, he's the wackiest character in the show.
Yeah, he often just pops into Seinfeld's apartment and starts rooting through his fridge. And he has a lot of slapstick. He falls over all the time. And in really fun ways, it doesn't sound very fun when I'm just saying, oh, he falls down all the time. But
Well done.
Yeah, he's very imaginative in the way he falls down and hurts himself. And
very physical actor.
Yeah. And then the last main character is called Elaine. She's the only woman in the group.
Yeah. She wasn't even in the pilot because they didn't realize that they needed a woman.
Yeah. It's really strange because I think if they had made the show without her, I think it would be missing something. I think it wouldn't be quite as good as it turned out.
No. But she is a good character. She said something in an interview about being after the writers and asking them to give her more jokes and more fun stuff to do. So she is really a developed character. She's not just the woman.
Yeah, not just the token woman, right?
She's funny and she's stupid and...
Yeah, she gets into just as much trouble as the guys. She isn't
always the voice of reason and
yeah, in a lot of programs that are not as good as Seinfeld, if they have a cast of mostly men, then the one woman is usually just nagging. Like she's usually just the mother character, kind of. Like she tries to stop the guys from doing the fun stuff.
Hmm.
Like a Marge in Simpsons sort of type. But yeah, as I was saying, I think the show really holds up. But I don't think everybody thinks so.
No, we're listening to this other podcast where one of the hosts have several times expressed that he doesn't think Seinfeld has dated very well because he thinks the sort of cynical behavior doesn't hold up today. He finds the characters a bit repulsive, I think.
Yeah, this is Dr. Brady Haran from the Unmade podcast. And he pretty much thinks that the show wouldn't be made today because all the characters are morally reprehensible, right?
Yeah, but they're not that bad. I mean, they obviously have a conscience and...
Yeah, if they do something bad, they usually feel bad about it. It's more often, I think, when the characters in that show has done something bad, it's by accident.
Yeah, and they are likable, so you don't detest them for it either. And they do get their comeuppance, at least at the end.
Yeah, in their last episode, they have to go to jail for a year for their various crimes. Sort of, it's not really crime soon.
You know, in one episode, Jerry Seinfeld steals a bread from a woman, an old woman. That's a crime.
Yeah, that's one of the parts that doesn't really fit with Seinfeld's character. It's like,
I think he was just getting desperate because he needed that particular bread because he was going to deliver it to George and,
yeah,
and yada yada, long story.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was a bit out of character, which kind of made it funnier.
Yeah,
and he called her an old bag and just ran away with the bread. That wouldn't be funny in real life, by the way.
Really?
Some people would probably find it funny.
But yeah, I really don't agree with Dr. Haran in his opinion that the show wouldn't be made today because it's too reprehensible. Because look at It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, for instance.
Yeah, that's much worse.
Yeah, those people do horrible things, straight up criminal stuff and drug people and stab people and everything like that. That's way worse than what the Seinfeld people normally get up to.
Yeah, I didn't even think I was gonna like Sunny, but it's very over the top. You're more like hoping for them to fail because they are so bad.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia in another episode.
Yeah, you never know. But how do you feel about Jerry Seinfeld's stand-up bits that are intertwined with the episodes?
Yeah, because Jerry Seinfeld often opens and closes the program with... They have filmed him in front of an audience and he's doing a stand-up routine about something that relates to what is happening in the episode.
And his humor is very... It's about observations and everyday things that people come across.
Observational comedy, which was very in the 90s. Like the stereotypical thing is, what's up with airline food?
Mm.
It's the one that everyone mentions when they're making fun of that type of comedy.
Yeah, they can be funny observations, but I feel that the audience is always like... laughing their butts off and slapping their thighs at something that's not really that funny. You may just go, yeah, you're right, but it's not that funny.
Yeah, I totally agree that Seinfeld has audience laughter in the episodes, but that always sounds natural. I never notice it even because they're always laughing at the correct places, that at the same places that I'm laughing.
Yeah, that's filmed before a live studio audience,
yeah.
As I say.
But it's And that's different from, say, the Big Bang Theory, where they're laughing all the time, and it's not always at things that I am actually laughing at myself, which makes it feel much more unnatural, that the way they are laughing. Possibly because I think in that one they are using a laugh box.
Oh, Big Bang Theory is so bad.
I used to like it, but I have come to realize that maybe it's not quite as good as I thought.
To be fair, I haven't seen much of it. I was just watching a little bit and thought, this is not for me.
Yeah, but at least in terms of the laugh track, it's much more natural in Seinfeld, because they seem to be reacting naturally to the jokes. They don't even laugh at all the jokes. Sometimes they don't laugh. Mm-hmm. And they just laugh a little bit at stuff that is just a little bit funny. And it's natural. It's not like in some shows that where they are just laughing their asses off because of just a little comment that isn't even meant to be a joke. But that is different from when Seinfeld is doing his bit and he's standing in front of an audience and doing his stand-up.
To be fair, when you're watching stand-up, you may be affected by the people around you and maybe you've had a beer.
Yeah, so it's a different setting. So maybe people will laugh more than we did while we were watching a stand-up.
But in a way also, that humor is not as crude as a lot of stand-up humor today. So yeah. That's maybe like an opposite of what Brady Heron was talking about, how the characters are more cynical than they are today.
Yeah, in many ways it's much more tame than comedy today.
I don't really need stand-up to be crude. And I like that he's not bullying people and punching downwards. But, you know, it's not hilarious. I used to like his... I'm telling you... Well, it was called I'm Telling You for the Last Time. It was like his goodbye stand-up show that he did.
Oh, cool.
That was aired on TV.
Yeah.
I used to like that, but I've seen it quite a few times. So the last time I saw it, it was a bit tame, like you said. But I already knew the jokes. Maybe the reason. But he has a new show on Netflix now. I'd be quite curious to check that out.
Yeah, maybe we should.
What was it called? 23 Hours Left to Kill or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. And that's because it lasts for 1 hour.
So maybe we'll check that out. But back to Seinfeld, the show. Do you have like a favorite episode?
Yeah, well, there's quite a few very funny episodes. And we watched so many of them in such a short amount of time. We watched so many of them. All of them are sort of mixed together in my head. Like, yeah, I can't completely distinguish them from each other because we just watched everything in almost one sitting. But yeah, the first episode that comes to mind that I really liked was one where they are chasing down a car that has been stolen or something, and they're in a car with Newman, one of Seinfeld's other neighbors that he doesn't like, and they're in a mail car.
Yeah, that was Kramer and Newman following.
Yeah, they're...
And Jerry was on the phone?
Yeah, Jerry was on the phone, and Kramer and Newman has a mail truck that they are using to transport like a bunch of empty soda cans to get the money from them in a different state, because you get more money back from delivering the empty cans in that state than in New York. So they are traveling there, and then they see, I think it was Seinfeld's car that had been stolen, and he asks them to follow it. And
yeah, and I think Elaine also was keeping some golf clubs in the car that her boss, she had bought them for her boss, Mr. Peterman.
Oh, yeah.
So the driver is throwing them out of the car and...
Yeah, and she is asking them on the phone to stop the car to pick up the golf clubs, and yeah, it's just a lot of hullabaloo because everyone wants different things, and none of them can like they have to choose between what everybody wants because they can't do everything, because if they do one thing, then the other one is not going to get the way they want it.
That's a strange thing you picked that episode. But, you know, everyone's talking about things like the soup Nazi. But maybe that's, like, it's been spoken so much about that.
Yeah, I really like the Super Nazi one as well, but I think I had, like, at the point when I watched that, it wasn't a surprise anymore.
Yeah, I know. So I'm a little bit with you that I have, like, favorite moments of the show rather than episodes in a way.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, when George got a toupee, I just thought it was funny when Elaine took it, ripped it off his head and threw it out the window.
Yeah, and screams, "I don't like this thing."
Yeah. You know,
yeah, because he had become so cocky, even though everyone knew that it was a toupee.
Yeah, and he was like, "I used to be bald."
Yeah, and yeah, that's a good moment. And yeah, everything with her boss, Mr. Peterman, because he is so, I guess, flamboyant. And I don't know if that's the correct term, but he's just like so much larger than life.
Yeah.
And very theatrical and yeah.
Yeah, he's funny. And now I also was thinking about George in his job with the New York Yankees and his boss, yeah. Mr. Steinbrenner, who's voiced by Larry David.
And I'm sure Steinbrenner is a real guy that actually coached the New York Yankees at the time that this program was put out. And and Larry David is doing the voice for him, and you can actually not quite hear that it's Larry David. You have to know that it is him to catch it.
Well, I don't know. I guess I didn't know Larry David when I watched Seinfeld back in the days. But it's quite obvious that it's him when you're aware of it.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, there are many funny moments. And also, I'm glad you've watched Seinfeld now, since I'm kind of referencing the show from time to time. And then I have to tell you afterwards, that's the Seinfeld reference, by the way.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, now I'm going to catch it from now on.
Hmm.
And
like when I say Happy Festivus to you.
Yeah. Do you know there's actually a board game based on Festivus?
It is?
Yeah.
That's, by the way, a made-up holiday that George Costanza's father created,
yeah,
instead of celebrating Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, and instead of a Christmas tree, they have an aluminum pole, I think.
Yeah. And they have a fight.
Yeah, he has to fight his father, I think. Yeah. Yeah, George's parents are really funny in the show.
Yeah, I love them. They are so funny.
And yeah,
and the way everybody is just screaming at each other constantly. Doesn't yeah. sound funny, but it's funny in that show.
Yeah, actually, if somebody is listening to this episode and they haven't seen the show and we're not completely selling you on it, like, just go and watch a few episodes anyway. It's a really fun show, Seinfeld.
You know, back in the 90s and early 2000s, I think everybody had seen it. Do you think it's still like that?
No, not at all. Culture moves on. And
yeah, it's weird, because when you said that, I was thinking, of course they've seen Seinfeld, but I don't know, maybe yeah. not.
Like, it used to be, like, stuff on TV was going on repeat all the time.
And yeah, those water cooler programs.
Yeah, but even older shows was going on TV all the time, so everybody had seen Friends and Seinfeld and The Fresh Prince in Bel-Air and stuff like that. But nowadays, people don't really watch TV the same way.
No, that's true.
They watch Netflix, and maybe they watch new stuff that is put on Netflix or other streaming services and on YouTube. But you have so many options for stuff you can watch. So you don't necessarily end up having a shared cultural experience with everyone else.
No.
But I think Seinfeld has started to get really in on the internet. I think there's a lot of memes, and yeah, I think there are other ways that it is being shared within the culture.
Yeah, so maybe it's just people over a certain age.
Yeah, but as I mentioned, I've seen it mentioned a lot on the internet lately, so people could be exposed to it through memes and stuff, and then search it out for themselves and watch it. We saw a trailer recently for a proposed point-and-click adventure game.
Yeah.
Like in a 90s-style retro video game, where you play as all the different main characters of Seinfeld.
Yeah, it looked like it could be fun.
Yeah, I think the creators of the Seinfeld game, they're trying to get the rights to make the game so that they can release it. Because at this point, it's just a trailer. But yeah, I'm going to leave a link to the trailer in the show notes because it's really good and it looks just like a pixelated version of Seinfeld. And it looks like the gameplay could be very fun.
Was there a Kickstarter for it?
That's one of the possible ways they are going to make it, by kickstarting it.
Okay.
It's not...
And they have to get the rights first,
yeah,
and then launch a Kickstarter. Okay.
Possibly. But yeah, it looks like the gameplay could be kind of fun. In the trailer, they are showing that you can try to lie as George. You can choose different ways to lie yourself out of a situation, just like George. And Elaine is shown pushing somebody really hard, like she often does. When she gets really excited in the show and like really happy and really excited, she takes both her hands and just flat palms people in the chest really hard so they fall over because she's like so excited that she gets violent.
Get out!
I'm not quite sure what the gameplay with Seinfeld would be. I think that is probably where the normal point and click gameplay would be when you're controlling him. Like normal point and click adventure games, you can see a screen with a room that the character is in, and you can press different objects in the room and you can choose what they're going to do with it, like look at it or pick it up, and then you can bring certain objects with you which you can use to solve puzzles in the game. That is what point and click adventure games are like. So I think that is probably what you're doing with the Seinfeld character. Then you could not control Kramer, the trailer says, because nobody can control Kramer. He's like crazy.
Well, that's it for one show that takes place in the big city. So now we're going to go over to another big city.
Oh yeah, we're going to talk about the 1927 Metropolis movie.
So this is a silent movie directed by Fritz Lang. It's German. Would you like to recap it?
It pretty much starts with the movie showing us the different classes in the city. Below, in the depths, under the city, it's the workers' city, where all the workers that are maintaining the machinery that runs the city are located, and they cannot see the sky even because it's underground, and they are living in squalor. And then above in the clouds, in this amazing looking architecture, lives the rich people. Then we see the son of the creator of the city. The creator is named Joe Friedersen, and his son is named Freda, which is kind of strange because Friedersen means son of Fredar, but that's the dad. So Joe Fredarsson is the dad of Fredar. Yeah, but anyway, Fredar is one of those rich people.
And Fredar, he kind of represents the upper class. And then to represent the lower class is a woman named Maria. And she's talking to the poor people about Mittler?
Yeah, I think that's the German word they use at least.
Yeah, he's like a person who's going to unite the two classes.
Yeah, Mittler means something like middleman,
I think. Yeah, so he's going to kind of make peace between them.
Yeah, because a lot of the issues that the movie raises is that you have the thinkers at the top that comes up with the ideas, but they cannot understand the trouble the people that has to execute the ideas have to deal with. And then you have the workers that has to struggle and build, but they cannot understand the vision of the thinkers, which I sort of think is a little bit insulting to the working class. it's like, oh yeah, the working class, they don't have any ideas.
They're just muscle.
Yeah, they're just muscle and they can just build. And it's not like there's a systemic reason for why some people get to lead and some people has to execute. I really think that that part of the movie is kind of derogatory against the working class. And I don't really think that is the issue, that working people cannot understand the vision of the thinkers.
Yeah, but we have to remember it's an old movie, so...
Sure, but then we also found out that the director's wife later got really involved with the Nazi party.
I think I've read that Fritz Lang was against the Nazis.
Yeah, Fritz Lang was, but not his wife, who was one of the writers of the movie.
Oh, so you know that for sure?
No, I don't really know for sure that Fritz Lang was against the Nazi party, but I think so.
Yeah. Actually, it was rumored that Hitler was inspired by the movie, and the movie has also inspired pop culture in later times.
Yeah, just from reading on the back of the box, I see 2001, A Space Odyssey. Probably, I can't really see that for myself, but I'm sure. And Ridley Scott's Blade Runner. And yeah, totally, I totally see Blade Runner being inspired by this.
Do you know what I think of when it comes to inspiration from Metropolis?
Yeah, is it that song we just played?
Yeah, sure. But I was also thinking about the music video to Queen's Radio Gaga.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure I've seen that one. So I'm going to look it up and put it in the show notes too.
Yeah, do that. That's very obviously parts of Metropolis.
One thing that I remember now that is inspired by Metropolis is C-3PO from Star Wars.
Yeah, of course.
It's inspired by the robot woman in this movie.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned her, but she's very iconic to this movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's an inventor called Rotwang, and he has made like a Mensch machine.
Yeah, which means human machine.
Yeah, it sounds cooler in German.
Yeah, Mensch machine.
He transforms this Mensch machine into... Yes, and he makes the Mensch machine look like Maria.
Yeah, because Joe Fredersen has a plan of disrupting the freedom movement of the worker class by making that Maria copy spread misinformation among them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the real Maria leads a group of children up into the high society, and their Fredar sees her and falls in love. And he chases after her down into the undercity, where he sees the plight of the common man and starts feeling for them.
He takes over one of the workers' mundane tasks.
Yeah, he sees a worker struggling and he is willing to take on his task for him.
So this is, like we said, a silent movie, so there's no dialogue. Everything is written out.
Yeah, and it's black and white.
Black and white as well. And also there are parts missing of the movie. So we watched a restored version.
Yeah, where the missing parts are described in text instead.
Yeah, so it's it seems like particularly there's a character called the Thin Man, whose job is to...
Yeah, he's a spy for Joe Fredersen, and he spies on Fredar.
And it seems like a lot of his parts are missing, so that was a bit strange.
A lot of scenes, particularly with that character, is missing, so that's strange. It's not all of them even. There are scenes with him in it, but almost all of the scenes that they described that were missing
and
mentioned
also,
him.
And also some of them seem to be a bit action-packed, like there was fighting and stuff, and you didn't get to see that.
Yeah. So I didn't look this up, but I'm just guessing that maybe this was like a censor thing, that the version that still exists is a version where they cut out everything that was too exciting.
I have no idea. Maybe it would, you know, the acting is very theatrical and over the top, which it is in silent movies generally, I think. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know how realistic those fight scenes would be anyway.
Yeah, but maybe for a 1920s audience.
Yeah, maybe. But you know, there are... I was just thinking about when the Mensch machine looks like Maria,
Yeah.
She's partying with the rich people.
Mm.
And she likes wears a very see-through gown and dances in a way that was probably considered seductive.
Yeah, I think it was just strange.
It looked like it was sped up a bit.
Yeah, maybe that's the reason.
But I was also thinking that maybe they didn't yet have the same censorship as today. No, not today, but later.
Yeah.
Like in the 50s or 60s.
Actually, when I start to think about it, probably the real reason why some parts are missing is because the war. I guess some parts were destroyed during World War II.
Yeah, who knows? Well, somebody probably does.
There's a lot of really impressive scenes in the movie. Like, there's a lot of good imagery and cool visuals in the movie.
Yeah, surprisingly good for 1927, I'd say.
Yeah, the Metropolis itself, it looks like a great sci-fi city.
Mm.
And there's several visions to, like, ancient Egypt.
Mm.
So the robot version of Maria, she incites the working class to riot up against the city, while also being a sort of seductress to the rich people and making them more corrupted and greedy and perverted, I guess. And just pitting them against each other, I guess. So what do you think about the message of the movie?
Well, of course it's a question of different classes and how they work together.
I think it's a very privileged message, like, oh yeah, there shouldn't be a struggle between the rich and the poor. I don't think we need to guess which class the writer of this belongs to, if you know what I'm saying. Don't struggle against the rich, that's not good.
Yeah, maybe that you should rather find a peaceful solution between the classes.
Yeah, and that's good in theory, of course, but it's also very convenient for the upper classes.
Yeah, you need to be allowed to protest against...
Yeah, even though in America, there's so many people that are protesting, and then there's people going, oh yeah, you're not going to do anything by doing it that way. And yeah, you're at least not going to make any difference if nobody knows that you want the difference. And yeah, there's a lot of people that really don't like that people are protesting in America.
You'll get the world's attention at least.
When the people were protesting against police violence against black people, and there were American football players kneeling to make a stand around, ironically enough, because they are kneeling during the national anthem, and people get so angry because they are not standing during the national anthem when they actually should be more angry about all the police violence.
Mm. And of course, this was a peaceful protest, the kneeling.
Yeah, that is a peaceful protest, but that doesn't matter. The privileged people actually don't want any protest at all, in any form. And some of the forms that possibly could make a difference is going out on the streets and demanding a change. But you're always going to have people that are saying, oh no, you're causing chaos and you should just let everything be like it normally is. And these are the people that have it good normally. And yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, there's so many connections between this movie and the state of the world today. And in some ways, this movie shows disparity between the rich and the poor and everything like that. But also in some ways, it's just very, it's kind of dumb when it comes to where that disparity comes from and how to change it. Like, they sort of think that disparity is just as much the workers' fault as it is the rich people's fault.
Yeah, they are kind of united at the end.
Yeah, Freda and the working class shake hands at the end. We're not really explained what is going to change. They just shake hands and the credits roll.
Yeah, I was wondering that if after this, do they still have like 12 hours workday?
Oh yeah, I bet. Nothing in the movie indicates to me that anything is going to change because of this. Like, even the working class doesn't really have any specific demands.
Maybe they should be making a sequel now.
Well, that would...
Metropolis 2?
That would be... I would actually be interested in that. I, for the most part, I hate when they are making sequels and remakes of old movies, like for no good reason, because most of the time these movies are perfect the way they are. But if they were to make a remake of Metropolis, I think that would be pretty cool, actually, because I have a lot of questions that the movie didn't answer, and not in a good way. Like, I like to be left with a mystery sometimes, but I'm being pretty critical of a movie from 1927.
Yeah, it's almost 100 years old.
Yeah, it's when you think about that, it is actually amazing. It's very good. Like, don't get me wrong, but it's not perfect like many movies that has lasted this long.
Is there an anime movie called Metropolis? Does that have something to do with this?
Yeah, I saw something when I was researching for this. I didn't look very much into it, but it seems to be somehow inspired, but it's not completely the same thing. I think there's more robots and stuff in it.
Okay.
But it seemed like it has to have taken some inspiration from it.
Okay, so like we said, this movie has inspired a lot of pop culture. But,
yeah, but yeah, I would actually be very interested in seeing the story revisited from a modern perspective.
Would you want an American remake or a German remake, or wouldn't it matter?
Like, in principle, I think I would want a German remake, but at this point, the world is so interconnected. We live in a global society at this point, not a national society.
Ooh, maybe an international version.
Yeah, a collaboration.
Yeah, that would be cool. And also with, not necessarily with one of those superpower countries, but also...
Yeah, like...
Norway, for instance.
Yeah, well... we may be...
We could be involved. We could be extras.
Oh, yeah, us personally?
Yeah. I would like to be an extra in a movie.
Yeah, me too. That would be pretty pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, do you have anything more to say about Metropolis, or should we call it a day?
Yeah, I don't think there's that much more to talk about. Like, we could sum up the entire plot as we did last time with Apocalypse Now.
That was just too much, I think.
Yeah, that I think we went in a little bit too much detail on that episode.
Yeah.
So I think maybe we should just leave this for now. And now it's my turn to choose a movie for us to watch for the next episode.
Yeah, and as usual, it's a movie in your collection that you haven't yet shown me.
Well, that would be the case, but I think I'm going to go a little bit different this time. I think we're going to pause our movie collection a little bit.
Okay.
And we're going to watch a newer movie, which also touches upon class disparity.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to watch Parasite.
Ooh, yes, finally. Is it available?
It's on YouTube to rent. So we're going to rent it on YouTube and watch it. And I think it's a perfect follow-up for the Metropolis discussion.
I didn't know that was what it was about.
Yeah, class disparity is one of the big themes in that one, as far as I have understood it.
Ooh, interesting.
So we can talk a little bit about how the movies do this differently.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. And I hope that everyone listening that hasn't already seen Parasite will go out and find it for themselves. And yeah, it's going to be pretty fun. I hear great things about that movie.
Yeah, go on. It'll be fun.
Yeah. So we'll see you for the next episode of Gikare Humanum.
Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.